The following program is not a production of Audio Journal. External programs like this are selected with the interests of our audience in mind and with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Hello, and welcome to the Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy, and this is brought to you by the folks at Mind's Eye Organization. We're going to kick it off with, let's see what the magic ball says. Other Coast. Two bears are sitting in the woods talking. The first bear remarks, "I said to Harry, this is my huckleberry bush, but you know how pushy he can be." Suddenly, the bears are interrupted by the loud jingling of a bell. Jingle, 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 jingle. They look off nearby to see where the sound is coming from. The second bear replies, "It's hard to have a conversation over the hiker's bear bells." My brother just visited Yosemite, and they won't even allow you to have food in the cabins. It's a bear problem. They can hardly bear it. Okay, that was stupid. All right. Blondie. Dagwood is sitting in his easy chair watching TV. The neighbor boy, Elmo, is lying on the floor next to him, coloring in a coloring book. Elmo, "My mom grounded me for a week, Mr. B." Dagwood looks down at the boy and replies, "Then what are you doing here?" Elmo smiles as he responds, "She sent me over here because she said I was driving her crazy." I'm telling you, Department of Children and Family Services needs to look into this kid. He wanders around the neighborhood. Just not good. Dilbert, the pointy-haired boss, is seated at the conference table with Wally, one of Dilbert's colleagues. The boss, "Wally, you failed at your primary goal for the year." Wally, "I didn't fail. I sharpened my focus." The boss, "You sharpened your focus?" Wally, "That's right. My original goal was to upgrade all of our servers, but then I sharpened my focus to remove the bottlenecks." The boss, "So you removed the bottlenecks?" Wally, "No, that seemed too hard, so I sharpened my focus to staying awake during the workday." The boss, "So you stayed awake?" Wally, "I tried, but it was harder than it looked." Oh, Wally. Zitz. One large frame with an aerial view of the family driveway out in front of the house. Jeremy is driving his VW bus in the driveway, but behind the bus are all these shirts left lying on the driveway, and they're all flattened out. His mother, Connie, is yelling at him from an upstairs window. She gives him the evil eye. Jeremy looks up as he says, "Ironing some shirts. What does it look like?" Jeremy. Baby Blues. Hammy approaches his father, who's in the kitchen, staring into the open refrigerator. Hammy, "Mom said I could sleep in the tent tonight if it's okay with you, Dad." Daryl, "Well, sure, Hammy." Hammy is pleased as he responds, "I'm going to pretend that this is the wilderness with nobody around for 100 miles. Daryl, "Cool." Daryl has gone to the garage and retrieved a tent. Daryl puts up the tent as he responds, "There." Hammy continues, "Maybe I'll build a log cabin. Hunt fish for food, too." Daryl, "Nice." Hammy, "I might even grow a beard and make friends with a grizzly bear." Daryl says, "Good night." In the next frame, Hammy is in the sleeping bag, but he hears a twig snap. Suddenly, Hammy is wide-eyed with fear. In the final frame, he comes running in, folds the tent and everything with it, dives into his mother's bed. Daryl is standing in the doorway brushing his teeth. Hammy looks at Daryl and remarks, "Change of plans." Pearls Before Swine. A man is seated at a desk with an American flag standing next to it. A sign on the front of the desk reads, "Office of Senator," and the name is not visible. There's a man in casual clothes approaching the senator as he remarks, "Sorry to bother you, Mr. Senator, but there's something I don't understand." The senator replies, "Fire away." The man continues, "Well, there are some issues that 90% of us agree on, and yet you won't help us." Senator breaks into a wide grin and remarks, I'd love to, but I can't. The citizen, why not, Senator? The senator, because I'd have to go against my own party. The man persists, so? The senator, without them, I can't win re-election. By this time, the senator is standing atop of his own desk. The senator, then I'd lose all this power. The citizen replies, so? The senator points at the man and replies, then I'd have to get a real job and be just like sad little old you. The senator stands up, reaches for a pot full of cash, and continues, just kidding. We all become lobbyists to make 10 times more money. In the final frame, Goat is talking to Rat, who has been writing this story on a piece of paper. Goat, maybe the only parties we should have are the ones with cake. Rat points out, beer drinking helps. Non sequitur. Throughout the woods, there's a dinosaur walking down a path. Up ahead, there's a sign pointing that reads, Stipulation Wishing Wells Ahead. The dinosaur looks in the distance, and he sees one well with a sign that reads, Need, and another well with a sign that reads, Want. The dinosaur looks to the Need well, and he drops some money in, and nothing happens. He looks down the well and sighs. Then he looks at the other well with the sign that reads, Want. Then he throws a large coin in the well, and suddenly a torrent of ammunition and AK-47 type assault rifles come flying through the air out of the well. The dinosaur has a big smile on his face. In the next frame, the dinosaur is enjoying all these weapons. He's very happy. There are heart emojis floating over his head, and then suddenly there's a picture of Danae. The frame contains a close-up of her face, and she's looking out at us with slit eyes. In the final frame, Danae is seated on the sofa with her dad, Joe, to her left on the sofa. Danae, this isn't really about how the dinosaurs went extinct, is it? Joe, let's just call it the sad tale of the allegorical saurus. Clever, Mr. Wiley. Mutts. It's one big frame in which several African animals are sauntering to the porch of Earl, the dog's home. The animals are led by Mooch, the cat, who's just knocked on the door. Earl looks out at the crowd with surprise. The animals include an American eagle sitting on the back of a rhinoceros, a peacock sitting high on the back of an elephant, a giraffe lurking in the background, a frog, a turtle, a panda, and a koala bear, as well as a hippo, a tiger, and an ape. Mooch announces to his friend, "We thought it might be safer at your house." It's a little bit cryptic. Blondie. Dagwood is coming home from work, wearing his usual black suit. He approaches the front door and announces, "Honey, I'm home." In the next frame, he walks into the kitchen and asks, "How was your day, sweetheart?" Blondie replies, "Oh, nothing went right at my job. I worked, and by the time I got home from the 3 catering jobs, I found out that our refrigerator had died." She continues, "Everything is spoiled, even the tenderloin we planned for dinner." And she's telling him all this as he's going upstairs to their bedroom. She continues, "This entire day was nothing but aggravation. That's how my day's been in a nutshell." She has effectively cornered him in the bathroom, and he ends up standing in the bathtub. She finally leaves, and Dagwood looks at us, replies, and points out, "This probably isn't a good time to tell her she forgot the spicy mustard on the pastrami sandwich in my lunch today." Wise move, Dagwood. Pickles. Earl and Opal are sitting on the sofa where Earl is reading a newspaper. Opal, "Are you going to just sit there? How about some witty banter?" Earl, "Witty banter?" Opal, "Yeah, you know, clever back and forth conversation like you see on TV." Earl, "Okay, give me a moment." He sits there in silence for a minute and he thinks about it and then he says to her, "I like cheese." Opal, "Let's see what's on TV."
I like cheese.
Sally Forth. You recall that Sally and the family went to Ted's mother's house for a family visit. They have met Jeannie's new boyfriend, Ronan. Jeannie is Ted's mother. The four of them are outside on the back deck. Ronan and Ted are leaning on the railing with beers in their hands. Ted, "So..." Ronan, "They're really amazing breath control there." "Listen, Ted, I know this must seem weird, you seeing me with your mom." Ted. Well, I didn't see you with my mom. I'm not in that way, though. Okay. I've already ruined my half of the conversation, so let me start over. Ted continues, I know my mom has a whole other life before she was my mom, and I know she has the one life after we all moved, despite three of my adult brothers moving back in. But you have to understand, I've only known her as my mom, and I've only known her as being with my dad. And yeah, my dad could have been nicer to my mom, less selfish, less needy. He could have supported her as much as she supported him. He could have seen the family not merely as an extension of himself and not made everything about him, everything to assuage his insecurities every single time. In the final frame, Ted continues, Listen, I'm like this close to asking you to play catch with me. Ronan replies, how about I teach you cricket instead? It's like Calvin ball, but with a lot more rules. Family Circus. In the first frame, Jeffy is looking rather forlorn, and he's walking down the hallway as he announces, I don't think I'll be able to sleep because I didn't get very many hugs today. Mommy comes into his room and gives him a big hug, and Jeffy falls fast asleep. In the final frame, Daddy and Mommy are getting ready for bed when Daddy remarks, I don't think I'll be able to sleep because I didn't... She just looks at him. I guess he was looking for hugs too, right? Okay. Beetle Bailey. Otto, Sergeant Snorkel's dog, who, by the way, is dressed just like Sarge in his military uniform, asks his girlfriend, a cute poodle, if she'd like some ice cream that he's holding out to her. She replies, yes. He continues, sorry, it's a little melted. The poodle replies, I love soft serve. In the next frame, they're both walking paw in paw under the moonlight, and she continues, it's been a lovely evening, Otto. The bones from the garbage can were so tasty, and that piece of steak from the dumpster was scrumptious, and the spilt milk hit the spot. Under the moon and stars, Otto lays out a blanket in a meadow, and they sit. She points out, sitting here in the moonlight is so romantic, but how come you never spend any money on me? Otto replies, if ever I have any money, I will. Rhymes with orange. One frame. We're in a scientific laboratory where an aquarium with four mice in it sits on a table in front of two scientists, one woman and a man. Inside the aquarium is shredded paper on its floor, the requisite mouse wheel that the mice use for exercise, and a bottle of water in the corner suspended upside down with a hose for access by the mice. The woman is holding a clipboard. She remarks to the male scientist, they're sick of the wheel, they're done with the maze. Now they're asking for pickleball. Mother Goose and Grimm. One giant frame contains a close-up of Grimm running just ahead of a giant truck, which is just about overtaking him while he's smiling. He's also wearing a harness around his shoulders that resembles a handle for a service dog. Grimm remarks, good thing I installed a roll bar. Garfield. The favorite feline and Odie the dog are both asleep and snoring. The first, second, and third frames are all the same. The two pets are sleeping while snoring. Finally, Garfield and Odie blink and start to wake up. Snook, snook, blink, blink. They both stretch. In the final frame, the text box reads, and so ends another productive day in the wonderful world of pets. Meanwhile, in the final frame, they're both asleep and snoring. Dustin. Ed, Dustin's father, is at a grocery store in the section that offers discount sushi. He's holding a package. He takes a look at its contents. He points out, discount sushi. I guess it could save money as long as your health insurance doesn't have a copay. Sally Forth, you recall that the family is visiting Ted's mom, and Hillary has made an amazing discovery in the backwoods. She comes back to the deck and confronts her father about a young boy she met in the woods. She believes the boy is her father from the past. Hillary, Dad, you won't believe what I just saw. She continues, okay, you won't believe it, but I need an old camera, non-digital. Ted, well, your grandma might have one, though we need to get some film. But first we have to select a speed depending on light and subject. Are we talking landscape photography, sporting events, overcast day, She turns in disgust and rolls her eyes as she points out, "How did you people get anything done back in your day?" Ted pipes up, "Did you know what I miss about an old camera? Photo mats. I bet living inside one would be like having a house and a studio apartment at the same time." Pearls before swine. Rat is at the diner counter talking to neighbor Bob, who's having a coffee. Rat approaches. They're both sipping coffee. Rat, "Hey, neighbor Bob, what's the matter with you?" Neighbor Bob looks a bit befuddled. Neighbor Bob, "My friends are all getting married. Now I feel like if I don't hurry up and do the same, I'll run out of time and be left all alone, a big loser." Rat replies, "It's real life, not musical chairs." Bob, "Though they look a lot alike." Rat, "Musical chairs is more fun than life." Yeah. Mother Goose and Grimm. Mother Goose is looking at a newspaper, and it reads obituaries at the top of the page. She's talking on the phone with someone from the local newspaper. "Hello, you published my obituary today in your newspaper." The person on the other end excitedly replies, "We did?" The person on the other end of the line asks, "Where are you calling from?" Deflocked. Mammoth, the sheep, is at the bank talking with a bank officer. Mammoth, "I need a loan." The officer, "Do you have collateral? 3 years of financials and proof of employment?" Mammoth, I don't have any of that. I just assumed getting a loan might be less stressful than knocking over the bank." In the final frame, Mammoth's at home talking to Cobb, the tall dog, who is seated in his chair at home reading a book. Mammoth announces to Cobb, "Never make assumptions." Pickles. Earl is sitting in his easy chair wearing his clothes, but his shoes and socks are off. Roscoe, the family dog, is looking up at him quizzically. Earl, "Roscoe, go fetch me a pair of my white crew socks." As Roscoe walks a bit, Earl announces, "Attaboy." And then the next frame, Roscoe retrieves a pair of Argyle socks in his mouth. Earl replies, "No, Roscoe, I said crew socks. You brought me a pair of Argyle socks." Roscoe glares at us with a puzzled look while thinking, "Once again, I'm the victim of unrealistically high expectations." Rhymes with orange. The text box reads, "Dinner." It's one frame. A man in a red t-shirt is mixing food in a bowl. He's holding some wine, some cube cheese, some tofu from a box called Extra Firm Tofu. The tofu box itself points out, "I said no to sesame garlic, use chipotle, and it's final." Macanudo. The little boy in this comic strip is sitting on a log, dangling his feet in the water of a flowing creek. Next to him is his huge imaginary friend, Olga, who is covered in blue fur and shows extremely sharp teeth. Olga. Olga. The boy replies, "I guess we can only hold on to what we imagine for only a while. Which oceans will you visit after you leave me?" The monster replies, "Olga." That's all she knows how to say. Dilbert. The pointy-haired boss encounters Dilbert in the hallway at work. Dilbert points out, "The employees who attend your meetings on Zoom are complaining. They feel ignored." The boss, "It's part of my plan to make them commute to the office without making it look like it's my fault." Dilbert, "I wish I didn't know that." The boss replies, "It's called enlightened management." Baby blues. Hammy is in his swim trunks and behind some bushes in the backyard. He waves to Zoe. "Hey, come look at this." She asks him, "What?" Hammy, "Look, I saw it when I was peeing back here." Zoe replies, "Skip the gruesome details." Hammy shows Zoe a mound of dirt with a hole in the top. Zoe, "It's a gopher hole." Hammy asks, "What is it, a tiny volcano?" Zoe, "No, it's a gopher hole." Oh, Dad's gonna lose it. Garfield. Our favorite feline is smiling broadly at us in all three frames. In the first frame, Garfield is thinking, "When I think about doing good and helping others," he continues, "I ask myself a simple question." In the final frame, Garfield asks, "What's in it for me?" Hi, I'm Lois. We're at the office in the first frame where Mr. Fufram, the boss, is wearing a gray pinstripe suit while standing next to him is a display board. Mr. F. points out, "For this campaign, I need everyone to give 110%. Hi, who is sitting close by at the conference table, wearing a suit, while his next-door neighbor, Thirsty, is also sitting nearby in his usual casual outfit, loose tie and rolled up long sleeves. High asks, "How's that possible, sir?" Mr. Fufram smiles while using the pointer to point to a circle and a triangle drawn on the paper pad. Fufram replies, "Let me demonstrate." That should be interesting. Beetle Bailey. Cookie Jowls is in the kitchen stirring a big pot of stew that he's making. Sarge walks in and asks, "Can I taste it?" As he tastes it, Cookie smiles and replies, "Well, how is it?" Sarge tastes a spoonful and makes a face while replying, "Very angry." Family Circus. Dolly is standing in the hallway eating a chocolate chip cookie. She shouts, "Hey, Mommy, are these brown things calories or are they just chocolate chips?" Zits. Jeremy is consulting his cell phone. He's with Pierce, who's playing with Clapton, Jeremy's cat. "Jeremy, I think maybe I might have found a guitar student already." "Pierce, you don't sound too sure about it." Meanwhile, he puts Clapton on the floor. Jeremy, "Yeah, well, their spelling is terrible." And Pierce looks at the phone as he says, "Dude, that's Spanish, amigo." Speed bump. Two dogs are in the backyard. One is a larger dog with a cell phone, while the other is a smaller dog, also with a cell phone. The first dog, bark, 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 hoof, hoof, yuck, yuck, yuck. The second dog, stupid typos, that was supposed to be voice to text. Bizarro. A man and a woman are seated at a nice restaurant, dressed to the nines. She has her arms crossed in front of her, and she does not appear happy. Nearby is a violinist, dressed in a red vest, and standing next to the table. He is not playing, but he asks the couple, "Shall I send over the strolling trombonist?" I had to think about that for a minute. I think the couples had an argument, and the trombonist would provide a wah-wah. I don't know if that's right, but that's what came to mind. Non sequitur. We're at a swimming pool, which is empty. There's no water in it. There are two kids standing at the bottom of the pool bed, one wearing a beach donut and another kid looking at his cell phone. Up on top is a little girl with her father, both wearing swimsuits. They seem to be wandering, confused and dazed. Two other people are on the diving board while a lifeguard is seated on his perch at poolside. A sign next to the lifeguard reads, "Lifeguard on duty. Water supplier, not so much." Marmaduke. The big dog is on his stomach on the backyard lawn while holding his paws over his head. There are several birds dive-bombing Marmaduke. Nearby is a bird bath with a couple of birds in the water. Phil, Marmaduke's owner, is watching from the other side of the yard. "Phil, that's what you get for drinking out of their bird bath." Duplex. Fang, the yellow dog, and Eno Camino are standing on a diving board of a pool. Eno is standing close to the edge of the board while Fang is behind him. "Eno, I want you to know, Fang, how much I appreciate you being here with me for moral support. I can always depend on you to have my back and push me to try things." In the final frame, Fang gives him a big push, causing Eno to fly off the board. As he goes off, his glasses are tumbling through the air, and he has this terrified look on his face. Drabble. Ralph is in the bathroom in his boxers and undershirt. He looks in the mirror and remarks, "Yes, the past 6 months have not been kind to me." Honeybunch walks in and finishes the sentence. "The first 47 years were no walk in the park either." Ziggy. The little guy is seated at his desk, surrounded by piles of paper around him on top of the desk. He's looking at us as he announces, "Inflation is so rapid that a dollar isn't worth today what it wasn't worth yesterday." Lola, our favorite senior citizen, is in the backyard in a lawn chair drinking a beverage. Max is snoozing on the grass next to him. Suddenly, Max is awakened by a fly, so he tries to catch the fly in his mouth. Lola asks, "You okay, Max?" Max is thinking, "Oh my God, I actually caught it." He has an unpleasant grimace on his face. Other Coast. A flying saucer is passing over Earth, and there are two green aliens in it. They resemble cows, but with crooked antenna protruding from their heads. They are looking down at Earth while the text box reads, "Two shape-shifting aliens are approaching Earth." One of the aliens remarks, "We will assume the shape of a common Earth creature, where we will remain undisturbed while we plot the takeover of their planet." In the final frame, four dogs, including Coco, are chasing two squirrels. Guess who the squirrels are. The Argyle sweater. We're at a hockey game, but it's for cats instead of humans. There are two cats in full hockey uniform seated on the player's bench. A cardboard box with its flaps open is next to the bench. It is labeled penalty box. The announcer's voice comes over the loudspeaker. Yet another penalty sends Walters back into the box. It's almost as if he likes it in there. Upon closer scrutiny, a cat is in the penalty box wearing a big smile. Blondie. Dagwood is seated at the counter of his favorite diner, Lou's Diner. He's reading the paper as he remarks to Lou behind the counter, "I see you finally broke down and bought an ad in the paper." Lou, who is always disheveled and in need of a shower and a shave, with a toothpick sticking out of his mouth, replies while pouring coffee from an urn. "You bet I did," he continues. "Waiting to attract new customers by word of mouth can take forever. Besides, sometimes word of mouth reviews work against me." Dagwood, "Yeah, I wasn't going to say that out loud." Okay, Dustin. Hayden, the kid next door to Dustin and a buddy, is lounging in the branches of a treehouse with Dustin himself. The treehouse is in a huge tree in Hayden's backyard. The treehouse is nothing more than a floor, wooden floor, without walls or a roof. Hayden is leaning up against a tree branch reading a comic. Dustin is lying on his stomach looking at a magazine. Dustin looks up around him and remarks, "This is a great treehouse, but it doesn't have a roof." Hayden replies, "It's open concept." Sally Forth. Hillary and her family are visiting her dad's mother's home. Hillary is in the backyard on her cell phone talking to her girlfriend, Faye.
Faye, you know those strange stories my dad tells about his childhood woods?
Faye replies from the phone,
"Yeah, he told me one when I was living with you last year."
Hillary, "I think those stories might be real. I went into the woods and met a 10-year-old version of my dad, and my cell phone turned into a calculator in 1988.
Faye, "Are you serious? Tell me you're going back there."
Hillary thinks for a few moments. "I don't know. Do I really want to spend my summer hanging out with a 10-year-old?
Faye, "How is it out of everything you just said, that was the most inexplicable?"
You're listening to the Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy, and this is brought to you by the good folks at Mind's Eye Organization. Pearls Before Swine. Rat approaches the bar where Goat is reading a book while enjoying a cup of tea. Rat, "What are you reading, Goat?" Goat, "The story of how this company got us hooked on their drugs, leading to a nationwide epidemic that cost us billions of dollars." Rat, "Starbucks?" Goat answers, "A drug that's slightly more addictive." Rat, holding his own cup of coffee, replies, "Nothing is more addictive." Pig is standing on the bar stool next to them. His eyes are very wide, and he's gritting his teeth, shaking his fists as he shouts, "No one touches my pumpkin spice latte." Mother Goose and Grim. Grim, the yellow dog, and Ralph, the terrier, are leaving the baseball stadium at the end of the game. There are crowds of people leaving with them. Grim turns to Ralph nervously and says, "So embarrassing, getting caught licking myself on the kiss cam." Deflocked. Mammoth the sheep is outside next to Rupert the small brown dog. They are surrounded by a swarm of gnats. Mammoth is shaking his hoof in the air, shouting, "These gnats are driving me crazy." Rupert explains, "They're attracted to carbon dioxide. That's why they swarm your face."
Mammoth, "I see. Well, now I know how to solve the problem."
Mammoth starts coughing loudly right in Rupert's face. Cough, cough, cough. Nice guy. Pickles. Earl and Opal are seated on the living room couch. Roscoe, the dog, is sitting on the floor between them, ready to jump up on the sofa next to him. Earl, "Well, hello, boy." He turns to his wife and remarks, "Is there a nicer feeling than being in a room with more than one person and the dog chooses to sit by you?" Roscoe leaps and rests his head on Earl's knee. Grandma replies, "Well, if I stuffed my pockets full of beef jerky, he'd probably choose me too." Rhymes with orange. The text box reads, "The grounds." A couple is visiting a cemetery, standing by a recently dug grave. The man remarks, "Poor old Fred. He was always a lost soul." In the foreground of the comic is a large map of the cemetery on a billboard labeled with the word directory. Hovering next to the map is a floating shroud with holes cut out for eyes. The spirit seems to be reading the map. Dilbert, the pointy-haired boss, is sitting at the conference table talking to his workers. I've been asked to lay off 10% of my employees so the company can stay solvent during the downturn. I can't tell who's doing a good job, so my plan is to fire the first person who asks me a dumb question. Asok, the intern, turns to the boss with wide eyes. Dilbert, who's sitting on the other side of the boss, remarks, "What if the question isn't dumb?" The boss grimaces and replies, "We have a winner." Baby Blues. Zoe and Hammy are talking with Daryl, who is seated on the couch in the living room, holding their baby sister, Wren. Zoe, "Dad, you need to sit down." Daryl, "I am sitting down." Zoe, "Then sit further down." Dad slouches back into the couch until his back is on the cushion and his legs and rear are hanging out over the edge of the couch. He asks, "Like this?" Zoe, "Are you comfy?" Hammy stares at his father and remarks, "He's going to pull a hamstring." Daryl appears uncomfortable. "What's this all about?" Garfield. Odie, the dog, is standing on the table, looking up at the ceiling, giving a large howl. "Ow!" Garfield pops his head into the frame and scolds the dog. "Stop it! That's annoying!" Odie stops and looks at the cat. Garfield leaves, and Odie turns to us with a big smile. He wags his tail and waves his fist in the air to show that he has been successful. Mutz. The text box reads, "Hard math." Mooch the cat is in the Arctic floating on a very small iceberg next to a polar bear. The polar bear is looking around and all the water and other pieces of ice are floating by. Mooch reads from his notebook, 22,000 polar bears. Hi, and Lois. Lois has a girlfriend over. They are in the living room looking down at baby Trixie. Lois's friend comments, "Trixie has Hi's eyes and your smile." The two women sit on the couch to chat. Trixie crawls in front of a mirror and looks at her face with surprise. "I thought I was all me." Beetle Bailey. Miss Buxley, General Halftrack's secretary, and Lieutenant Blips, the general's military attaché, are seated at their desks in the outer office of the general. The general is sitting at his desk, writing in the next room. Miss Buxley says to the lieutenant, "The general has been working really hard on something all morning." Halftrack comes to the door holding a small white box in his hand. He asks, "Can someone get me a new box of crayons? I've just about used this one up." The two women giggle. Family Circus. The kids are playing in the backyard. Dolly has a girlfriend over. They are dancing together as baby PJ watches. Billy walks away from them toward his younger brother, Jeffy, and warns him, "Don't ever play follow the leader with Dolly. She does ballet steps." Zitz. Jeremy holds up his phone to his buddy Hector and asks, "Hector, what does this say?" Hector takes the phone and reads from the screen. It says, "Estoy interesado en tomar lecciones con usted. ¿Qué tal este miércoles?" Jeremy frowns and announces, "I was hoping you'd translate that into Ohioan." Hector, "Oh, right. By the way, the Spanish translates to, I'm interested in taking lessons with you." Jeremy had sent out notices that he wants to teach guitar. The next sentence translates to, "How about this Wednesday?" Good for him. Speed bump. A group of military officers are attending a fancy party. They are dressed in uniform, including various medals they have earned. One of the officers is a dog. He is talking to another man as they enjoy cocktails. The dog glances at the medals on his own chest and explains to the man, "Most of them are for bravery, but the one I'm most proud of is for not peeing on the carpet." Bizarro. A pair of cardinals, birds that is, are standing in front of a wooden structure that looks vaguely like a birdhouse. There is a glass door with hinges on the front. Inside the structure are stacks of paperback books. Some of the titles are visible. VIP Quips, Slaughterhouse 5, Catch 02. There is a plaque on the front that reads, "Free Library." The male bird is pointing at the books and complaining to his spouse, "Every time I come home from gathering twigs, it's filled with more of these things." Cornered.
A dentist is working on a patient who is reclining in the dentist's chair. He is performing a root canal. There are hoses coming out of the man's mouth. The dentist himself is leaning on the man's chest and has his arm inside the man's mouth all the way up to his shoulder. He turns to his nurse assistant and explains, "It's important to get the whole root." Non sequitur. A caveman couple is seated around a campfire at the entrance to a cave. The couple is roasting some meat over the flames. Outside the cave, two woolly mammoths are passing through the snow. Across the cave, another caveman is drawing on the wall. He is drawing a fire with an arrow pointing toward a cogwheel, with an arrow pointing toward a large factory building with four smokestacks billowing smoke. The caveman by the fire comments to his wife, "I don't know, something about a long-range plan to bring an end to the Ice Age." Marmaduke. Phil and Debbie, owners of the big dog, are in the backyard working in a garden. Debbie is weeding while Phil is pruning some branches from a tree. Marmaduke walks by holding a hedge trimmer in his mouth. He is dragging the electrical cord behind him. Phil mentions to his wife, "Even though the books say dogs can't use tools, I'm still worried." Duplex. Eno Camino walks into the bathroom carrying a magazine. The lid of the toilet is covered with a furry pink cover. The lid is currently down. Eno knocks on the lid. Fang, the yellow dog, who is inside the toilet, lifts the lid and looks up at Eno. Eno, "How much longer are you going to play submarine?" The dog replies, "I just spotted a U-boat off the Gulf of Mexico." Drabble. Ralph and his wife Honeybunch are enjoying a movie at the cinema. Ralph has a large tub of popcorn on his lap. Ralph, "I don't get it. Tom Cruise is older than I am, but in the movies he flies fighter jets with speed and precision." His wife just smiles. Ralph, "I got honked at twice just driving to the theater." Lola. On a hot sunny day, Lola walks up to the park bench holding two containers of ice cream. She hands one to Carl, a homeless man, sitting on the bench. Lola, "Hey, Carl, I got you an ice cream." Carl looks up and replies, "Thank you, Lola." He takes the ice cream and looks down into the cup. "Hey, this is strawberry milk." Lola explains, "Well, 200 yards ago, it was ice cream." Siggy. Our diminutive friend is at the doctor's office. He has a thermometer in his mouth. The doctor, holding a clipboard, explains, "Relax. There's nothing wrong with you that good old medical science and an enormous amount of money can't fix." The Argyle Sweater. On Sesame Street, the vampire, Count Von Count, is counting. He is a Muppet with pointy ears and sharp fangs and wears a monocle. He's dressed in a black tuxedo with a black cape. He counts. 1, 2, 3. In the next frame, 57, 58. 59. In the next frame, 412, 413. In the next frame, 960, 961. In the next frame, 2012, 2013. In the final frame, there's a woman standing next to him. She's eating a large plate of spaghetti. He finishes counting. 2013 calories. Ha, ha, ha. The woman thinks to herself, "He is the worst weight loss coach." Other Coast. Coco, a small black and white dog, is running through an agility course. In the next frame, he is relaxing in the living room with his buddy Sakura. Coco, "I took first place in the dog agility meet today." Sakura, "Cool. What did you get?" Coco holds up a medal that he's wearing around his neck. "A medal?" Sakura is not impressed. She replies, "That's it? Just a medal?" Coco squeezes the medal and it makes a loud chirping sound. Coco points out, "It's a squeaky medal." Blondie. Dagwood walks into the living room where his teenage children, Cookie and Alexander, are seated on the couch playing on their phones. Alexander, "We posted a new dance move on TikTok. We're just waiting for the likes to start rolling in." Dagwood, "I'm sure they'll come in any minute." Cookie looks at her phone. "Whoa, our first like." Dagwood is impressed. He exclaims, "Wow, that was quick." Alexander. Oh, not really. We posted it 3 days ago. Dustin. Fitch, Dustin's best friend, is sitting at a coffee restaurant with Dustin, sipping coffee. Fitz looks at his watch. Some dude sold me this watch for $80. Dustin. Sorry, Fitch. I think the Rolex has a sweep secondhand. Fitch. Well, it's no biggie. It is what it is. Dustin. Totally. It's just not what I've said it was. Sally Forth. Hillary has discovered a strange zone in the woods behind her grandmother's house. She's met some kids. They're a little bit weird, so she's out with the group of the young people. They're walking through the woods, and one kid, who she believes is her father as a young boy, says, "Come on, weird girl, going on one of our patented woods adventures." And then the second one, the other kid, says, "Don't say it like that." Hillary, so what do you do on these adventures? The young Ted says, "Well, first you have to know about our team. Each one of us serves a very special function." Hillary, you mean like one's a cyber expert, one's a safecracker, one's an acrobat? And then the kid replies, like we all look out for each other. You know, we're only 10, Hill, not a special elite unit. Pearls before swine. Goat is talking to Pig. Who was on the phone, Pig? Pig replies, neighbor Bob. He's invited us to a party. It's our third one this month. Let me go to Rat. He approaches Rat, and Rat says, please bring back the lockdown. Please bring back the lockdown. Please bring back the lockdown. Then Pig goes back to Goat and says, I don't think he's going. Mother Goose and Grim. Mother Goose is standing at the front door. She's just walked in the house. And she looks at Grim and Ralph, the other dog, and they look guilty. Go ahead, say it. Admit you were scooting on the rug while I was out. Deflocked. Tucker, the boy who lives with everybody at the house, is talking to Mamet. Tucker, the school sent out summer packets of trivia to help fill any educational gaps from the last 2 years of remote learning. In the second frame, he continues, what's the name of the big country full of bigots and oppressors that rhymes with Schmidt, Schmitz of Sharika? Cobb, I feel like they're not even trying anymore. Tucker says, as a bonus question, where did your parents go wrong? Pickles. Nelson is talking to Opal, his grandmother. Nelson, I hate my hair. It's too curly. Opal, don't be silly. You have beautiful hair. Nelson, I wish I had normal hair. Opal, there's no such thing as normal. We all have traits and characteristics that make us different from other people. Remember, Nelson, you're unique just like everyone else. Rhymes with orange. The text box reads the big day. It's one frame. We're inside a church. There's a bride. Two members of the bridal party, dressed in a tuxedo and a dress. They're looking at their wristwatches. The bride is wearing a beautiful white dress, holding a flower bouquet. But she's kind of sad-looking. And then there's the minister, who's just kind of standing around. And there's people in the pews. Other text box reads, Godot's wedding. Macanudo. A giant wave is crashing toward the beach, carrying two penguins. It's such a strong wave that it's curling and they're upside down inside the wave. One penguin says to the other, we have to stop meeting like this. Dilbert. Catbird, the HR expert, is at his desk. His coffee's on the desk and he's speaking. According to our internal survey, 25% of our employees are non-player characters. All they can do is talk about the weather and complain about work. That's how I plan to weed them out. In the third frame, we find out who he's talking to. It's another employee who's on the other side of the desk. The employee mentions, I hate working when it's sunny. Catbird says, pack up your things. Baby Blues. So you recall that Daryl discovered that there's a gopher in his lawn. He's dragging the garden hose across the lawn. Zoe sees him doing this, and she says, what are you doing? Daryl replies, getting rid of that gopher. I stick the hose down the hole and drown him. Zoe screams, no! In the last frame, Daryl's inside talking to Wanda. He looks defeated. He tells her, the pro-gopher lobby is powerful. Wanda replies, that's why I stay out of politics. Garfield. Garfield's talking to his girlfriend, Arlene. She's out by the fence. She's smiling and he's thinking, here I am, Arlene. Arlene replies, our date's tomorrow night. Garfield looks at us and says, nice rehearsal. Mutz. Text box reads, hard math. Stinky Pudding the cat has been keeping track of wild animals, and in this frame there's a Bengal tiger in the weeds, and Stinky says, 3,900 tigers. Hi, and Lois. Chip is out in the garage with his bandmates. They're practicing. And the one guy who has a mohawk is playing the piano. He's wearing a black t-shirt with a white skull drawn on it. And Chip is there with his guitar. And then the drummer is there. And the heavy metal guy says, we were thinking the band could use some bagpipes. Drummer, yeah, then an accordion too. Chip, I go get my uncles too. And the drummer says, we're just kidding. Beetle Bailey. Sarge is out walking with Killer and Rocky and Zero. And they're standing under a tree, and they look up, and Sarge says, what do you see to the south, Beetle? Beetle's up there, and he says, a really cute girl. In the final frame, all the guys are suddenly in the tree, except for Sarge, who now says, he says, what's up there now? He says, we're trying to see this girl. And Sarge says, then look to the north. Family Circus. We're at the house in the front yard. Jeffrey and Billy are building some sort of structure. Mommy comes out and says, boys, don't you think that clubhouse would be better in the backyard? Zits. Jeremy has finally found somebody who wants to learn to play the guitar. There's a young boy and his mother, and the one thing that we know is that the boy is Spanish, and he wrote his note in Spanish, but Jeremy doesn't speak Spanish. However, his friend Hector does. Jeremy, Hector, thanks for translating for me. Hector replies, de nada, which means you're welcome. The mother says, hi, this is Emilio. He's here for his guitar lesson. Suddenly, Jeremy screams at the kid, hi, me, Jeremy. Hector says, he's Mexican, not deaf. Tarzan. Jeremy, I was nervous. Speed bump. There are two cats on a sofa. One cat has on virtual reality glasses, and he's watching something unfold. The other cat's just watching him. So the first cat with the virtual glasses on says, I'm taking a virtual nap. Bizarro. So there's a Queen of Hearts card from a deck, and it's looking over at a baseball card of Bunny Noggin. Bunny's wearing a baseball cap, a uniform, and he's got a bat on his shoulder. It's hard to tell, though, which team he plays for. He's probably not a real person. The baseball card looks back at the Queen and says, anything else you'd like to know about me? When playing cards date, huh? Non sequitur. We're in a downtown area where there's a few restaurants, and the first one is called the Bistro. The sign reads, authentic French cuisine. The next one is Vito's, and the sign there says, authentic Paleo fare. Then there's a third one where there's a bear standing at the door in front of an lectern. There's a hand-painted sign above his head that reads, the cave. I'm thinking that's not really a restaurant. Duplex. Eno is at the plate. He's playing a baseball game. Pitcher throws a ball right past him. The umpire yells, strike three, you're out. Eno just kind of stands there, and the ump says, did you hear me? Eno, give me a minute. I'm listening to the Stairway to Heaven on my ear pods. Marmaduke. Phil, the big dog's owner, is standing in the backyard holding a piece of bacon high in the air above Marmaduke's head. Marmaduke's just looking at it, salivating. Phil replies, I give you this bacon if you show me where you buried my phone. Drabble. In the first frame, there's a shot of the exterior of Ralph's house as a banner is hanging on the eave. It shows a piece of pizza. From inside, someone asks, what kind of dinner would you like tonight, Ralph? In the next frame, we see the inside of the house, and Ralph says, I'd like triangular food, please. A pizza slice, a slice of watermelon, a slice of pie. Honey Bunch replies, can you think of a triangular vegetable? Ralph, candy corn. Lola. Our favorite senior citizen walks into the kitchen and finds Amy, her grown daughter-in-law, who's sitting by her laptop working. She turns around, says, Lola, what the heck? Lola replies, Harry and I are going to mess with a friend of ours. So in the final frame, she and Harry are walking down the sidewalk, and they both have blue t-shirts on with the letter O on each one. Their friend is an M&M, and he's walking next to the two of them, so it says, Moo. Ziggy. There's a sign in front of Ziggy, who's standing in a park. And the word no is at the top, and the next word is trespassing, but it's spelled wrong. But there's a line drawn through it. Another one that says interest, and there's a line through that, and then trust, but there's a line through that. For the last word, scram. You've been listening to the Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy. This has been brought to you by the folks at Mind's Eye Organization. Have a great week. Take care.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
There are more than 1 million English words. Next up, word nerd Steph Donoff with some of them worth talking about.
There is an itty-bitty, teeny-weeny fraction of English words that are taboo in polite society, especially on radio. And we are going to talk about them without saying any of them. You see, taboo words have medicinal value. A study at Oxford University showed that saying those taboo words increases your tolerance for pain. And you know the words I'm talking about. Scientists had people put their hands in ice water and asked them how much it hurt and saw how long they could keep their hands in it. Saying, even shouting, imitation swear words like darn, shucks, heck, even fudge did not help as much as the taboo words. There's a certain emotional release and strength in saying taboo words when you are hurting. This does not mean you can swear the next time you stub your toe. Now you have a good excuse for when you do.
That's enough talk about words. Let's go back to listening to them.
Are you having difficulty with your eyesight? Are you losing your vision? Are you afraid of what comes next? If you're blind or visually impaired, contact Mass Commission for the Blind to find out if you're eligible to register for services. Learn new skills to reclaim your independence. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB. That's 1-800-392-6450.
Welcome to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal. Our poem today is Ode to a Nightingale by John Keats. My heart aches, and a drowsy numbness pains my sense as though of hemlock I had drunk, or emptied some dull opiate to the drains 1 minute past, and Lethe wards had sunk. 'Tis not through envy of thy happy lot, but being too happy in thine happiness, that thou, light-winged dryad of the trees, in some melodious plot of beeches green and shadows numberless, singest of summer in full-throated ease. Oh, for a draught of vintage that hath been cooled a long age in the deep-delved earth, tasting of flora and the country green, dance, and Provençal song and sunburnt mirth. Oh, for a beaker full of the warm south, full of the true, the blushful hippocrene, with beaded bubbles winking at the brim and purple-stained mouth, that I might drink and leave the world unseen, and with thee fade away into the forest dim. Fade far away, dissolve and quite forget, what thou among the leaves hast never known, the weariness, the fever, and the fret, here where men sit and hear each other groan, where palsy shakes a few sad last grey hairs, where youth grows pale and spectre thin and dies, where but to think is to be full of sorrow and leaden-eyed despairs, where beauty cannot keep her lustrous eyes, or new love pine at them beyond tomorrow. Away, away! For I will fly to thee, not charioted by Bacchus and his pards, but on the viewless wings of poesy, though the dull brain perplexes and retards already with thee. Tender is the night, and haply the queen moon is on her throne, clustered around by all her starry fays, but here there is no light, save what from heaven is with the breezes blown, through verdurous glooms and winding mossy ways. I cannot see what flowers are at my feet, nor what soft incense hangs upon the boughs, but in embalmed darkness guess each sweet wherewith the seasonable month endows the grass, the thicket, and the fruit tree wild. White hawthorn and the pastoral eglantine, fast-fading violets covered up in leaves. And mid-May's eldest child, the coming musk-rose full of dewy wine, the murmurous haunt of flies on summer eves. Darkling I listen, and for many a time I have been half in love with easeful death, called him soft names in many amused rhyme, to take into the air my quiet breath. Now more than ever seems it rich to die, to cease upon the midnight with no pain, while thou art pouring forth thy soul abroad in such an ecstasy. Still wouldst thou sing, and I have ears in vain, to thy high requiem become a sod. Thou wast not born for death, immortal bird. No hungry generations tread thee down. The voice I hear this passing night was heard in ancient days by emperor and clown. Perhaps the self-same song that found a path through the sad heart of Ruth, when, sick for home, she stood in tears amid the alien corn, the same that oft-times hath charmed magic casements opening on the foam of perilous seas in fairy lands forlorn. Forlorn. The very word is like a bell to toll me back from thee to my soul self. Adieu. The fancy cannot cheat so well as she is famed to do, deceiving elf. Adieu. Adieu. Thy plaintive anthem fades past the near meadows, over the still stream, up the hillside, and now it is buried deep in the next valley glades. Was it a vision, or a waking dream? Fled is that music. Do I wake or sleep? You've been listening to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal. Read by me, Nikki Whichelow. Thanks for listening.
About the Audio Journal show, Young at Heart? It's okay to be young at heart. The show is about listening to simple stories about simple and happy tales of life. By listening to Young at Heart, you will experience the delight and wonder of being, well, young at heart. And since laughter is the best medicine, many of the stories will also make you smile, chuckle, or even laugh out loud. So pull up a comfy chair, take off your shoes, and bend your ears to the Audio Journal show, Young at Heart, every Saturday and Sunday at 2 o'clock p.m.
This is your Better Business Bureau with our tip of the week. When doing business these days, it is important to do your research. The BBB recommends typing a company name into your favorite search engine with words like complaint and scam. You can search for a phrase that describes your situation, like IRS call. You can even search for phone numbers to see if other people have reported them as scams. And when in doubt, check with BBB. Know who you're dealing with. If you've only ever met someone online or are unsure of the legitimacy of a business, take some time to check them out. Search the internet for others who may have had dealings with them. If a message comes from a friend and it seems unusual or out of character, contact your friend directly to check if it was really them who sent it to you. Remember to call BBB if you suspect a scam or want to report a scam, even if you don't lose money. Your scam report will help prevent additional victims. Our toll-free number is 1-866-888-8888. 566-9222.